2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. Joining you, or joining me actually, is Shy, Mr. Bear here. What is up, brother?
What's up, Keith? How are you?
Going good. I got a weird case of the Mondays this morning.
I have one of those every Monday morning.
Yeah, well, normally my days just kind of roll all into each other, but yesterday's injury front on the NBA kind of upset me, so I was hoping that that would count as my Monday, and now, knock on wood, it's just a little too quiet in the NBA front already.
It is. I agree, and we had, you know, some trade, or a trade, potential multiple trades, but only one. That ended up happening. Yeah, it was finalized today. You know what's funny? That I mean, I always knew this, but it's always funny when it comes to trade season. So they make trades over the weekend, but it's never official till Monday. You know why? I know you know why, but this is more to the audience. The NBA offices are closed on the weekend. They don't work. They're closed. There's nobody to take the call for the trade calls. So they have to wait till Monday morning, Eastern time, to call into the league office and request the trade go through.
This is 2018 we're talking about as well.
I mean, like, at some point, like, look, man, I have a business of my own, and I work at home. I've got an 800 number you can call, and it calls me anywhere I am. I mean, this is the way it is, right?
I mean, shoot, if my boss is mainly Kevin, if he wants to get a hold of me on the weekend, then guess what? I mean, I'm open for business about 99.9% of the time. It's just kind of one of those things. I'm like, I get these high paid execs, Adam Silver, you want a day off, but can you answer your phone and approve a trade for us, please?
I mean, please? It's not like it's every weekend, right?
I mean,
during trade season, extend your hours. I mean, yeah, it's not hard. Anyway, I mean, it was interesting. So we're talking about the trade between the Suns and the Wizards. So Ariza is now officially a Wizard. Kelly Oubre and Austin Rivers are officially Suns. I really like it for Phoenix. I really do. It gives them some more depth. I mean, they've been playing, you know, some G League players off of their bench and sometimes starting, or players who should be, you know, getting experience in the G League. So now it gives them two more NBA caliber players. Oubre can certainly, you know, kind of slide into what Ariza was doing for them until now. Rivers gives them another ball handler, another slasher, another guy who thinks he can shoot.
I'll say the question of two quality NBA players is that it is kind of up for debate, because I think that Oubre is. I really honestly don't think that. I mean, we know who Austin Rivers is. If he gets hot, he can go off. If not, then he sucks.
Yeah, no, I've never thought he was a good player. I mean, never. I've watched him play a lot. You know, being in Southern California, Clippers games were on my TV all the time. His tie to his dad being a coach. I mean, it just was in your face all the time here. And like you said, he has one or two really good games. Outside of that, you kind of just don't really hear from him. But, I mean, I think Oubre really is obviously the crux of the trade. You know, Rivers was probably just a throw-in because I know Ariza made a lot of money. They probably had to make the salaries match because the Clippers paid Rivers, and then they traded him to Washington. So his salary was included to make the dollars work. But, I mean, Oubre is going to have to get paid next season. I get why Washington didn't want to pay him, because he's not worth the money he's going to ask for. But he's still really young.
Yeah, he's an expiring contract for Phoenix. Now Phoenix has that major contract of Austin Rivers on the shelf. So it's kind of one of those things. Come on, Basketball Reference, get with the game here. Let's see, Kelly Oubre, he was making. Is he still on his rookie deal?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He is. So he's going to be a restricted free agent this summer. So Phoenix will be able to match, which depending on, I'm sure they're going to. And then Phillip Rivers, I've done that twice now. Austin Rivers, that's how good he is. Does that confuse him for Phillip Rivers? Austin Rivers is making $12 million. So, I had to throw in. It looks like they had to throw in Rivers to make the money work, because he is actually making 12.5 this year, because Ariza was making 15, so.
Yeah, I thought it was even more, but yeah. That's Ryan Anderson who's making more. like I said, it's make the money work. And then on top of that, I think the expiring is a really big deal. I mean, they're both expiring, right? Like I said, Uber is going to have to get paid this coming season, and then Ariza is going to be restricted or unrestricted, which is a 1-year deal. So I like it for the Suns. I really do. I think. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how Oubre plays into the team, because with Booker and Warren, Ayton, I mean, they're actually, dare I say it, man, the Suns are playing decent ball the last two games, which is not something I thought I would ever say, but they are.
It's amazing what happens when you get your best player back.
You get your best player back, start playing defense. Yeah, I mean, you could see, like, the entire team just completely changes when Booker's back. Completely changes.
And we can say that now.
They have a direction. Well, they have a leader. I mean, that's the thing, man. They have a floor leader, and Booker is their floor leader. And I know a lot of people might kind of look at his baby face and, think, oh, he's their best player. Yeah, he is their best player, and I don't think it's really even close. Warren's a great scorer, but the difference between even Booker and Warren is just not – he's their best player. It's not even close. And when you have a team that's at the bottom of the conference every year – their best player means everything to them. So, we did get some news pop up here, and then I want to hop into the slate here so we can not be on this podcast for 2 hours for the folks who want to get through their days. But it looks like Jeff Teague is now questionable. He's got some ankle inflammation from what I'm reading here. So we got to keep an eye out on that. Obviously, that's a huge bump for Derrick Rose. If that happens, we'll see. We'll keep following it closely, but as if that game wasn't going to be popular enough, now you might get a super chalky Derrick Rose.
Yeah. You've also got...
there's a revenge narrative in that game.
Yeah, I was trying to go through some of the injuries for tonight.
Sorry, go ahead.
Alonzo Trier is going to be out for the Knicks. It looks like Mitchell Robinson and Damian Dotson are going to be questionable, so we're going to have to watch on that. The Damian Dotson one is the big key because of the fact... Ooh, and Jabari Parker just popped up as questionable.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play anyway.
actually, he might have tonight.
Was somebody missing?
Zach LaVine's out.
Well, yeah, he was out last game and he played 4 minutes.
Oh, actually, no, he was out last game. He didn't play. Sorry.
I thought he played 4 minutes.
No, that was the game before. The Damian Dotson one's big because that's going to take a bite into Courtney Lee. So that one we got to kind of watch out for. Amon Shumpert, Jeff Teague, obviously questionable for that Sac Minnesota game. Jabari Parker questionable. Not like that means anything. Nothing
else. So I think Shumpert plays because Shumpert sat last game just for rest.
Well, they're calling this a left hip contusion.
Ooh, that's worse.
So that's why Taj Gibson is probable because of personal reasons, so not really worried about that. James Enos is out still for the Rockets. Nothing of relevance in that Philly-San Antonio game as of right now. Damian Lillard is in for personal reasons. I think his baby had to go to the hospital or something. I'm not sure. I don't want to throw that out there and it not be sure. So, but it's personal reasons. So,
yeah.
Lou Williams out. Luke Richard and Mbamute out. Kyle Anderson is questionable. Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala are probable for tonight as well. So nothing really major and Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon are probable tonight for the Bucks. So nothing really major as of right now, but this is the NBA and December has turned into April already. So yeah, we need to watch. So let's get to it. Point guards. Nice little 8-game slate today. Got some good matchups, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good matchups.
Yeah.
Okay, so stop the presses. Russell Westbrook is not my favorite point guard player of the day.
Oh, wow. You okay? I mean, are you doing all right today?
Well, there is a stomach bug going around my house, but I haven't contracted that one yet.
I thought maybe it's coming on to you or something. I don't know.
Nope, haven't contracted it yet.
Okay, good. Good, let's keep it that way. Yeah, I mean, this game is... the Thunder are favored by 13. I mean, like, not even close. It's the highest. Well, I guess Golden State-Memphis is somewhat close, but... yeah, it's not even close, man. I mean, like, there are some pieces here I'd like from the game. I mean, they're still going to put up points, right? So it's not like they aren't, even though it's the second lowest total on the board by half a point. But I really just want maybe one or two kind of supplementary pieces from that game. Like, I might play some Paul George. I might play some Jerry and Grant. I might play some Bobby Portis in tournaments. You know, stuff like that. Maybe some Chris Dunn. But I might even punt with, like, Abrines or something like that if I don't think the game's going to be very close. But outside of that, I'm not paying 11-6 for Russ in this situation again.
Oh, I mean, I think he's firmly in play for tournaments, but I'm not touching him in cash. And it has nothing to do with the blowout. It's just the fact that, you know, we've got Mike Conley in that Golden State game that's 8,500. We got Steph Curry at 96. We got Dame under 9K. We've got, you know, Ben Simmons at 97. We've got, well,
De'Aaron Fox.
Jeff Teague. Now we've got De'Aaron Fox, probably without Jeff Teague. Emmanuel Mudiay's been playing well. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You got De'Anthony Melton. I mean, point guard is loaded today. So yeah, that's the reason behind it. Because, I mean, you know me, I don't predict blowouts, which is why I'm not, you know, as much as I love what the guy does when he comes in with the second unit, I don't know if I can play a Nerlens Noel, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, because I love the matchup. I just don't know if I can do it. Ben Simmons yesterday. Now, the Sixers are on the back end of the back-to-back.
Yep.
They're starting a pretty extended road trip from what I can remember. Yeah. I'm a little worried that one of these games they're going to end up, you know, Jimmy Butler just came off a couple games being missed. I'm a little worried that Ben Simmons might miss a game here. I have nothing. Actually, this is not the extended road trip. The extended road trip is after they go back home and face the Knicks and the Raptors. The extended road trip starts on Christmas Day and goes through the West Coast all the way through the first of the year.
Yeah.
It's a 10-day road trip. So this wasn't the one that I thought. So this is a short little road trip between Cleveland and San Antonio. So I'm not worried about that right now. On this road trip coming up, where it goes Boston, Utah, Portland, LA, and Phoenix, then I'll be worried about it, but not now. So Ben Simmons last night had a triple-double. Back into the back-to-back going into San Antonio. Never easy to play in San Antonio because of the pace. They like to control the pace. They're not very good at defending the point guard position. They're not very good at defending anything, really.
Yeah.
But is $9,700 a little bit too much to pay in cash games with Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid both on the lineup?
I'm not. If I'm doing that, I'm playing Lillard. I mean, for, you know, $900 less. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
It's a no-brainer. Okay, I mean, listen, I know that Simmons... See, here's the thing. Like, I think even with Butler, Simmons can still go off.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see when Butler sits, Embiid goes off. But when Butler plays, Embiid doesn't go off. I mean, that's just a very black and white pattern that I'm seeing, right? It's very much 1+1=2 so
and
far.
And I hate it because it's not even to the point to where he does good sometimes and doesn't do good other times. Like, he just doesn't do good ever.
It doesn't do good, yeah.
And I hate it because now, you know, one of the best players in the league is dependent on one or two of these guys sitting out in order to be a viable play until he shows otherwise.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, and it was the same with Cat, right? Butler and his center. It's the same here. It's no different. I mean,
who
obviously
was his center in Chicago? Do you remember?
It was Robin Lopez.
Wasn't Nerlens Noel, or not Nerlens Noel, Joakim Noah there for a while?
I don't think they really spend that much time together. I mean, maybe part of a season, but for the most part, it was Lopez. Who doesn't need the ball? Who doesn't want the ball, really? I mean, you know, a few hook shots here and there, but he's a bruiser, you know?
Yeah.
Different styles.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a little bit disappointing for me as well. But for me, I think I'd much rather go down to Lillard, and it's more. I think it's just too expensive. Like if we hear Butler sits, which he's not, he's going to play, then different ball game. Although Simmons, unlike Embiid, has gone off with Butler in the game, and still can, but I would like him more without him. And you mentioned the guys want. I mean, you've got Steph at $100 less. I mean, yeah, Memphis is a tough matchup, but I mean, Steph Curry at home? Yes, please. And then you got Lillard, and then you got Conley, and then you got Fox, and you got Dunn. You got Bledsoe versus Detroit. You've got Rubio versus Houston, which I don't love, but you've got that. You've got, you know, with Teague sits, you've got Rose. I mean, you've just got, you mentioned Moutier. He's going up against Phoenix. I mean, there's just a lot to love here. So that's where I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm looking to. You know, I'll have a couple shares of Russ in tournaments, but nothing major. It's just, you know, if you gave me a choice, black and white, and said I got one lineup, Russ probably isn't going to make it. Unless some major value opens up. Right now, we're not looking at a lot of, you know, really good value like we've seen over the last week or two. But, like we said, it is the NBA, and the NBA does change on a dime, so... all right, let's talk about some of these mid-tier guys. We talked about Damian Lillard. He's going against the Clippers. I mean, Patrick Beverley is pretty much an afterthought because he doesn't play the minutes anymore, so I'm not really worried about that at all. He's kind of handled Avery Bradley over the course of his career, so even if Avery ends up guarding him over CJ McCollum, then I'm not really worried about it. I mean, $8,800 just seems a little too cheap, and it seems like I'm being baited into playing Damian Lillard tonight.
I mean, it's really hard not to at that number, at that price. But I think, I have a few initial tournament builds already, and everyone either has Lillard or McCollum. So one of the two. And I think McCollum is going to be that 4-6% owned guy in the main, whereas Lillard will probably be in the 30s or not higher. So, you know, and if it's one of those where CJ goes off, then obviously Lillard doesn't. So there's something to think about there for tournaments.
Yep, absolutely. Mike Conley, when I first started doing research on the slate, he kind of stuck out like a sore thumb going against Golden State, who's got a positive ADVP matchup. I think it's actually it's second on the board, actually, tonight for the position, which makes sense, going against, Clay and everybody.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I really do like Mike Conley. He does a lot defensively. He does a lot on the offensive end as well. He's their leader. He's probably the most underrated point guard in the NBA. And it's funny because, like, we used to say that about Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Now we're not. Now we're saying it about Mike Conley. And
exact same spots, man. And the thing is, we were saying that until Lillard made the All-Star here. And now we're like, okay, he's not underrated anymore. Because he made the All-Star. Because he wasn't getting any All-Star nods at all. And here's the funny thing. We're saying Conley's the most underrated. He's also the highest paid.
Yes.
So
he might not be anymore.
Yeah, I think Steph's recent contract kind of overtook that. But, and I mean, Russell's. He was. Yeah, he was until, you know.
Yeah, I know it was something that me and Al made fun of at the beginning of last year when he was struggling. We didn't know that he had a big foot injury or anything. So that was kind of the thing there. Okay, so if Jeff Teague sits out, obviously we can look to Derrick Rose. I just typed into my notes that if Teague sits, Derrick Rose is pretty close to becoming a core option tonight at 6,100. I want to talk about the opposite side of that matchup there, mm-hmm. because it would obviously raise his value a little bit too in De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Conley and Fox are my two right now. Those are my two locked-in point guards for the time being.
Teague, Conley, and Fox were my top three as far as, you know, when you take everything in consideration as far as price and all of it, the matchup and, you know. But with Teague sitting, then it's going to be hard not to play Derrick Rose at the position on a lot of lineups.
It's going to change, yeah. I mean, he's 1,400 less than Conley, you know. I'm sorry, $2,400 less than Conley.
14 than Fox.
14 than Fox. I mean, so yeah, that's, and you're talking about most likely 30-something minutes, 32 possibly minutes, the way Thibodeau coaches. You're going to see a little bit more Tyus Jones pop up if he doesn't play. If Teague sits, that's another potential tournament, large field play. But, I mean, you're just, the thing about it is, a couple things. If Teague sits, you're going to see massive, massive, massive Rose chalk. And that's okay because we've seen him put up insane numbers when he starts and when Teague sits. But let's keep in mind, people are going to look it up and see his career high, which he had this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't expect another career high. That's the first thing. Second thing I want to say is De'Aaron Fox has a horrible rap for his defense. But it's inaccurate. Rookie season, he was bad. Most rookies are bad defensively. Look at Trae Young, right? Look at all these guys, really. Most of them, really. He's vastly improved his defense.
Yes.
He's making a push for, you know, most improved on that side of the court. So, I mean, it's not a shoe-in in tournaments. In cash, you play and move on. Nothing to talk about. But in tournaments, I would like to kind of avoid. I'll still have shares because, you know, I never put in just one lineup. But I'll have my shares because he does have the potential in a relatively fast-paced game and a relatively high total. What is the total there? Yeah, highest total on the board with the ball in his hands. I mean, it's hard to. It's not going to be easy to pass on. But I'm just saying, there's some merit.
Excuse me. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing at all to go up against, you know. Look, Derrick Rose chalk before this year was never a good island to be on. I think a lot of people have swayed their opinion, you know, now that he's healthy, and good for him. I mean, the dude's been through a lot.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, 6,100 is no given, and the profit potential is not as high as it used to be. And so the fact that, you know, Teague and Rose are both so closely priced, you would think like the bump is obviously going to go to Rose. But the position is loaded enough to where I don't think that you have to be there in tournaments. I don't want anybody misconstruing what we're saying is in fade Derrick Rose in cash. You play him if Jeff Teague is out in cash. Done. Okay. Eric Bledsoe. If you played Eric Bledsoe, what was it, Saturday or Friday? Friday, the 14th, when Middleton and Brogdon were announced out, then you were thinking that it was pretty good. You were like, okay, Bledsoe, Giannis, you know, you had Embiid with Butler out. It's a great start to a lineup. Bledsoe turned around and didn't have to do a lot. You made the right decision. We've seen it time and time again that when one of these three is out, you play the other two and you just collect your fantasy points.
Yeah.
They didn't, Giannis did everything and Bledsoe didn't have to do a ton. You didn't make the wrong move. However, Bledsoe is 7,900. He's going against Detroit. Middleton and Brogdon are supposed to be back. I think everybody's going to hop off of this Bledsoe thing and not play him. I love him for tournaments because his price really didn't change. Just the perception of his price has changed.
So here's the thing I love about that. He's going to be literally unowned in tournaments. 100% agree with you there. I mean, he didn't do much without those guys, like you said. I mean, he wasn't bad, right? But I think when two of your offensive weapons or ball handlers, you know, starters are out, you kind of would expect it. You expected more, but like you said, it was all Giannis. By the way, that day I was 100% Giannis and Embiid and Moutier. Giannis hit 70, Embiid hit 68, Moutier hit 50. So good day.
Good night for you.
Good night in the Bear household for sure.
I was updating the DS with all those, and I got none of any of them.
Oh, that sucks.
So it was not a great night for me.
It sucks.
Not because I didn't want to play him; it's just because I ran out of time in making my lineups.
Like, yeah, of course.
You know. Like I've said before, literally, my first priority when news hits is not to update my lineups, it's to update the projections of the DS. So,
of course.
If I have to end up eating money now to make more money in the future, then that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the ownership leverage play a ton. You know, the matchup is certainly there. You know, we talk about it all the time when teams get their good players back, it opens up the floor for guys like Bledsoe. Now, obviously, Bledsoe is not like a Klay Thompson where he's a spot-and-shoot guy, but it opens the lanes for him because that defense is now stuck out of the perimeter to Middleton and to Brogdon and to Giannis. It opens lanes. So I don't hate it at all. I think it's definitely a strong, 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 strong tournament play.
Yeah, he's one of those, like, I love the idea, and I love all of it, and it just makes so much perfect sense in my mind, because while everybody hops off to go to Steph, to go to, you know, Conley, to go to Fox, to go to Rose, you know, I'm going to be sitting here going, ha-ha.
Yeah, 100%.
So.
100% agree.
All right, so Emmanuel Mudiay, we'll talk about him a little bit. 6,300 is not an easy pill to swallow for a guy that has, over the course of his career, been very, very inconsistent.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
But he gets the matchup. He gets the perfect matchup tonight in the Phoenix.
He does. He really does. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's the perfect matchup. And, I mean, the only... It's the same concern I always have with the Knicks, right? I mean, he's got, you know... Easily, he's going to get somebody like a Burke or, you know, I don't know. We have to see if Dotson plays or not, but who will kind of get him out of the game? It happens so often with them that I do have some concern there.
Yeah, I think I'm off of Emmanuel Mudiay tonight.
Yeah.
Because I think like people are going to kind of flock to that. Now that could change if, you know, Teague sits out and Derrick Rose becomes chalk. I'm going to look for a pivot right there around that same price, and that might be the pivot that I go to. Or I might just try to back it up with some Tyus Jones at min price if Teague is out. So,
yep. Don't hate that either.
De'Anthony Melton.
No.
Okay. Patrick Beverley, not playing enough minutes for me. Shelvin Mack. We talked about Mike Conley. Shelvin Mack gets about 20-ish minutes a run. Pretty cheap, high-paced game.
Mm-hmm.
More of a tournament play, I think, for me. Like a drop score. And only in lineups where I don't have, like I would want... We talk a lot about pairing guys up, and we talk about ping-ponging. Yes. This isn't really a ping-pong, but... In order for this to play out at maximum level, I need these things to happen.
Sure.
I need Golden State to blow out Memphis, and then I need Shelvin Mack to get a lot of the fourth quarter run. So
right.
There will be some lineups that I create that have a Curry-Shelvin Mack type of combo in looking to – and I don't predict blowouts, but on FanDuel with the drop score, I can do this – and then if Shelvin Mack doesn't play, then I still get all of Curry's. Like say they play a close game and Shelvin Mack doesn't get the type of run that I need for this to work, then guess what? I get four quarters of Steph and Shelvin Mack drops off.
Right.
So, Raul Alkins.
Huh?
He will be active if Parker's stomach illness doesn't improve. He is in Oklahoma City right now. He's with the Bulls. So, all right, let's move on to shooting guards here. We spent about 30 minutes on point guards. James Harden versus Utah.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly intriguing, isn't it? Because, I mean, you're gonna probably have an opportunity to play him at lower-ish ownership because of the Utah perception. Utah blew them out last game.
After losing Rudy Gobert.
Right. Early in the game.
Yeah.
Like, first 3 minutes of the game or whatever it was. So, yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. It's going to be interesting because, you know, I think they're going to want to win. They're playing better ball somewhat. It seems to me like they just are perfectly okay with giving the ball to James, and everything else is kind of secondary. I mean, that's kind of how it's been. And I'm okay with that because it's been working. Whereas before, they still kind of did that, but it wasn't like set in stone, so to speak, you know? It was kind of like, you know, yeah, go ahead and do your thing, but maybe somebody else might get involved. There's not really much of that anymore. It's just go and run, and it's your show. And so, you know, I think, again, that perception is going to be, oh, I don't want to play him versus Utah, but, I mean, that's kind of the spot you want to attack him, frankly, is the shooting guard.
Yeah, I agree with you on a lot of those facts, but you're talking about me telling or me saying that I'm trying to look and see who the refs are tonight for that game.
Okay.
There we go. Referee assignments. We got Eric Lewis, Derek Collins, and Eric Dalen. And there's a reason I'm bringing this up.
Yeah.
As
behind their backs.
James Harden is one of the guys that gets the most foul calls in the NBA.
Oh, it's not even close, dude. It's not even close.
And it's funny because, like, they did NBA TV, the afternoon show with Justin Eddie Johnson and Justin Termini, basically. And if you've never listened to them, you've got to, because, oh my God, they're hilarious. Because they go at each other back and forth the whole game. Is basically they came to this, like, adjustment, and they said that, okay, you've got Russell Westbrook, who's taken like 3,500 more field goal attempts than you know, free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got LeBron James, who's taken like 5,000 more. And, you know, did you know that James Harden has actually taken more free throw attempts than he has field goal attempts?
Yeah, I believe that. Sure.
And it's just, I'm sitting there going, wow, you've got to be kidding me with this. So, okay, so the crew chief is Eric Lewis tonight. And let's pull up Eric Lewis. Eric Lewis, the home team, when he's the crew chief for seven games, has a 57% winning percentage. Okay? He has called 48 fouls as the crew chief, and he's about even when you talk about home to away. But the funny thing is when you go to Derek Collins, who is right there, he's called more fouls against the road team than the home team. Okay, so you would think that that kind of evens it out, right?
Yeah.
And then you're sitting here looking at Eric Dalen. And as a main guy, he has called almost twice as many fouls against the road team as he has the home team.
Wow.
So now the swing has been absolutely just completely swung in the Rockets' favor.
Yeah. Right?
Which is like, can you even fathom him not getting to the line 12 to 15 times tonight?
Nope.
There you go.
Nope. Not against a second year player who's still trying to become a defender against him, and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to take advantage. I mean, look, he had some of the best defenders in the league on him, and he's done that to them. So, I mean, it's just, he's just such an explosive player. He's an impossible one-on-one cover that you have to play him so closely, and he baits you into fouling him. He's just a master at it, man. That's just what he does.
Yep.
By the way, that scares me a little bit about Donovan Mitchell, too, because I think he gets baited a few too many times and gets into some foul trouble here. But that's another topic, so let's move on to the next one here.
Yep. Okay, Chris Middleton, you like 6,400. His price has gone down against Detroit. We liked the spot the last time that he was supposed to go up against Detroit, and he ended up sitting on us.
Yeah, I'm all in on this one.
There you go. Buddy Hield, happy birthday today, brother.
Yep.
So, going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're going to need guys to score. I love me some Buddy Hield tonight.
Love me some Hield, too, man. Especially, you're telling me he's probably going to get Andrew Wiggins on him? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Andrew Wiggins, Malcolm Brogdon. Not Malcolm Brogdon. Tyus Jones, sorry. Yeah, he's gonna have a lot of turnstile type defense
tonight. Because I don't think he's any Covington. I don't think. I mean, Covington will probably be more on Bog.
Yes.
Than Buddy.
Well,
so,
we just saw this. We just saw this matchup. 3 days ago?
We did.
4 days ago, and that's exactly what happened. And Buddy went off. We predicted it, and it just, you know, it was one of those things like.
Buddy and Bjorn, both had a good game. If I'm not mistaken.
Actually, he didn't go off because of the ancillary stats, but they blew him out, and he only played 26 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
record high for three-pointers for them, I think, for the season, game, too.
Yep.
Like, they just rained them all over the place.
Yeah, it was not a good game for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, because that was Belizia's first coming out party again.
It was.
So, and we'll talk more about him here in just a couple minutes.
He's going to be popular again.
Yep. Justin Holiday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I like.
I do and I don't. So let me tell you why I don't. Okay? Here's why I don't like it. I don't like it because, I mean, first of all, he's been a beast. I mean, there's you can't take it away from Justin Holiday. But ever since LaVine is out and they brought in Dunn, it's been Archie Diacono, it's been Dunn, and then they put Holiday at the three. And the problem with Holiday at the three,
Paul George,
is that means Paul George. I don't like that at all for Justin Holiday. I don't like the outlook. I don't like.
I actually think that Paul George sees a little bit more of Markkanen tonight.
Interesting.
The Thunder, one of the things that have made the Thunder so good about their defense is they will switch guys. Like, they will switch between. Because of the fact that Jeremy Grant and Paul George can both guard the three and the four,
yeah,
technically you can move them all the way up to the two, but then it depends on who you have. You know, Terrence Ferguson and Russell Westbrook can cover the one and the two, you know, stuff like that. They're interchangeable on defense, which makes them really, really good. But to start out, like, I want Paul George on the best perimeter guy.
Yeah.
And that's not Justin Holiday, unfortunately. No slight at him. It's just not. It's Lauri Markkanen.
It's Markkanen for sure.
With LaVine out.
Well, yeah, no, definitely. But I think they counter with some Portis. And then when Portis comes in, you're kind of going to be forced to have Grant on him. And then you're going to have even more Paul George on Markkanen, right? So... Because they like to play Portis at the five with the second unit. And then if and when he goes crazy, which he has, he'll get more run. You know, I think he closed the game, last game, because, I mean, he wasn't balling out or anything, but he went on a slight little run there. So, this is all going to be based on matchups. Like I mentioned earlier, there are some ancillary pieces from the game that I like. I just haven't really decided which ones they are yet. Markkanen was certainly one of them. You telling me that you think Paul George will be on him takes me off a little bit less and might make me like a little more Justin Holiday, or I might play a couple lineups with one of the two, right, and kind of hope one or the other goes off. But that's about it. I don't mind Bobby Portis at all. We'll get to him in power forwards, but I don't know that I want any of the studs on this game for the reasons that I mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not going to be on a lot of Bulls just because I kind of treat them like I do the Raptors and I do the Boston Celtics, especially when the Thunder are at home. They're just a much, much better defense, unless it's just kind of how they do. So I'm probably not going to be loading up on a lot of Bulls. Thankfully, they're cheap, so they're still in play.
Right.
But they're not going to be main cogs in my lineups tonight. So anything else at the bottom here that you kind of like for the shooting guard position? Because there's not a lot that I'm loving as of right now.
I mean, in tournaments, you can always look at J.J. Redick. That can always catch fire going up against a really weak perimeter defense of the Spurs. That's always in play. I mean, there's some... I don't want to say revenge, but like kind of with Jamal Crawford going back to New York.
I was like 100 years ago, man.
I know, and he's also played for 100 different teams. So, you know, I get it, but I'm putting it out there. He's been playing a lot more as of late. Obviously, they're, you know, getting a little healthier now, but I can still see it. That's okay, pretty much
so
it.
We've recently liked to attack the Bucks with, you know, shooting guards. Mm-hmm. However, there's like a 15-man rotation at the shooting guard position for the Detroit Pistons.
It's very difficult.
I can't touch any of them.
Now Bullock is back, so.
Yeah, you've got Bullock, you got Brown, you've got Galloway, you've got Kennard.
Yep.
I mean, they're all cheap, and if you want to throw one of them in as a drop score, then great, go ahead. But I'm not touching any of them.
Yeah, but they're not min price cheap. You know what I mean? Like Kennard's 4,100.
37.
Well, yeah. I think
I'd rather play Troy Daniels for cheaper.
Right. Right. I mean,
or try to go with Courtney Lee or Terrence Ferguson or Tyrone Wallace. So, give me somebody else.
Alex Sabrinas, Marshawn Brooks, Terrence Ferguson, Kyle Korver. I mean, freaking Sindarius Thornwell.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, let's move on to the small forward position here. Giannis against Detroit. We know what he can do.
We know what he can do, but I'm off.
Yeah.
We've also seen what his limitations are when his team is fully healthy, which is good for the Bucks. I mean, that's good for them as a team, but for us as you know whom we choose to roster, it doesn't work very well when everybody's healthy. And like I said, it's good for the team. They got weapons now. So.
Yep. Paul George, we've talked about the Thunder and that matchup. I think he's in play. It's a more of a tournament thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I would probably try to bring it back with another Bull, especially if you're sticking another OKC guy in there. Kevin Durant against Memphis. Kyle Anderson ain't going to stop Cupcake tonight. So he's not cheap, but he still has profit potential.
He does.
Need a little bit of perfect circumstances. I actually like pairing him up in some of my builds with Draymond, just because I don't need Draymond to, you know, score. I like that, but I'm not sure how much of the Durant Curry combo I'm going to end up having, if any.
No, same here.
Unless it's like a game sack, and then I'm bringing it back with Conley and Gasol.
So there's two small forward. I mean, there's technically three, but there's two. Yeah, let's say three. Three of them here that I really love, and they're all mid range, which is where I'm going to be hanging around today. First one, and you already know my love for rostering TJ Warren, and it continues here. I mean, this whole Knicks Suns game, I love. I think you're going to see so much chalk, with Sacramento, Minnesota, rightfully so. I kind of like this game more. I mean, it's something I want to, you know, kind of attack. And so Booker and Warren are the two for me that I want to
see your TJ Warren and raise your Danilo Gallinari.
Oh, that's my second.
Okay.
Those are two of the three, Warren and Gallo.
Who's the third?
Bielitsa.
Oh, you had me sold until then.
Yeah,
Bielitsa. I think he sees a lot of Robert Covington.
He probably will. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's finish with Warren and Gallo. So for Warren, this game it's going to be a close game. These are two teams that don't blow anyone out. These are two teams that struggle to get wins. These are two teams that struggle to play defense, but can put up a lot of points. And so, you know, who the hell is going to guard TJ Warren? I mean, he's going to put up 35 real points, I think, today.
I like it. I really, really do, because this is the last game that we don't have to worry about the Rivers-Oubre combo coming in and messing up a rotation and trying to figure that out.
Exactly.
He gets a great matchup. I mean, Dotson, Tim Hardaway, they're not going to stop him.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think Tim Hardaway's out. No, he's not. Never mind.
No, no, he's not.
But they're not going to stop him. Doesn't matter.
Right. So those two pairing are, like, pretty much a staple for me.
Yeah, it's... I love them both. And then everything we just said about Warren, you could say about Danilo Gallinari, except for the fact that, you know, Gallo, he shoots like 98% from the free throw line.
He's been a monster. He's been a monster from the field as well. He's just been shooting across the board.
What was it? Saturday we played the Clippers. There was a stat that they popped out. For whatever reason, like, we just decide we don't want to guard Gallinari. I don't know why, but we just don't. Paul George isn't on him except for a couple minutes.
I noticed that Paul George was mostly guarding Tobias Harris.
Yes.
And Tobias really struggled.
Yes. And they flipped those two around real quick, which is what I think they'll do with Markkanen tonight. But Danilo Gallinari at one point was like, I think it was 13 for 15 from beyond the arc against the Thunder this season.
Yeah, well, I saw the game too. He didn't miss. He did not miss. And you know what it is? He was getting wide open shots. And you're talking about a good, above average defensive team in the Thunder, whereas Portland...
You're selling us short.
Compared to Portland, right? Like Portland has some good defensive spots. Small forward ain't it, man. I mean,
Mo Harkless has really struggled this year on the defensive end.
He struggled, he's not healthy 100% yet.
Oh no, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, you could see he's still not really trusting his body 100%. But nor here nor there, this is a really good spot for Gallo. As good as it is for Warren, as good as it is for Bielitsa. Now, you mentioned Covington. Here's the way they've been going. It's been Fox, it's been Buddy, it's been, well, Schumpert is now out. So it's been Fox, it's been Buddy, it's been Bogdanovic, Bielitsa, and Cauley-Stein. So Bielitsa slides to the four. You're going to see Covington on Bogdanovic. Not just because they're both small forwards, but because Bogdanovic is, I might get killed for this, but he's their best player.
Who?
Bogdanovic.
No, he's not.
I know people think it's Fox, but...
I wasn't even going to say him.
Who were you going to say?
I was going to say Willie Cauley-Stein.
Willie Cauley-Stein is not the Kings' best player, dude.
I would beg to differ.
He's their best defender.
He is their best defender. He is just not a part of the offense.
Then how can you be the best player if you're not involved in the offense?
Because it's not any fault of his that he's not involved in the offense.
He's not an offensive player.
He's not lacking offensively.
He kind of is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
The only thing he can't do is shoot a mid-range jumper.
He can't shoot anything from anywhere. Outside of the paint, which is fine. He's a center. It's cool. That's what you're supposed to do. But 2018,
it's
a different league.
Maybe
you
need to be able to shoot. Overvaluing a guy that can play defense from position 1 through 5.
Don't get me wrong. I love Willie Cauley-Stein. Don't get me wrong. I want him on my team 10 out of 10 times. Okay. But he ain't their best player, bro. We just have to strongly disagree on that one. So for me, their two best players are Bogdanovic and Fox. Those are their two best players. And you're not going to see Covington on Fox because he's not going to guard the point guard. So you're going to see Covington either slide over to Buddy Hield or slide over to Bojan Bogdanovic, which is what I see more often. More realistically. And that leaves... excuse me. And that leaves Taj Gibson and or Dario Saric, combination of the two, on Bielitsa. Bielitsa should feast. He's a three-point shooter. I mean, those guys are not perimeter players. So that's why I like Bielitsa. And by the way, Iman Shumpert says he's out for personal, like he was last game. So I don't know.
That's what I didn't.
They keep on changing it this year. I see a lot of it that like, for example, with Michael Beasley, he's been randomly just out for personal, and then all of a sudden it was ankle. So they said yesterday on the broadcast, because he was actually at the game in Washington, I guess his mom is ill. So obviously thoughts and prayers with him and his family. And so they mentioned on the broadcast that he was with his mom a lot. And I guess his mom wanted to come to the game. So he brought his mom to the game yesterday. Unfortunately, they got blown out. But you'll just see it all the time. It'll say personal, then it'll say ankle, then it'll say hip contusion. Like, which one is it, dude? Like, you know, be honest with us. What is it? We want to know what the issue is. So it's hard to trust what you see there. But
yeah.
So those are my three. Warren, Gallo, and Bielitz are my top. I do have some interest in Covington as well. You see Covington's price?
Yeah.
Dude, he's tremendously dropped. I mean, that's like, wow. So he's got steals and upside, steals and block upside and three-point upside as well. So I'm interested in that as well. But outside of those three guys, the only other guys I might take a few shots at are like a Joe Ingles,
yeah,
and potentially Evan Turner.
I think Wilson Chandler is interesting. You give me 30 minutes, close to 30 minutes for under 4K on the back end of a back-to-back. I've got interest just for those pieces alone.
Mm-hmm.
I might have some interest in, like, it depends on what's going on, but I might have some interest in like a Justin Jackson or a Daniel House, like one of these guys that is extremely cheap that's going to play over 20 minutes. But it depends on if I have to force value to get like a multiple stud lineup in there. If any value kind of opens up, I'm not, these are guys that I'm just like spitballing as potential drop score candidates that are going to play over 20 minutes. So, power forwards, let's, kind of rock these out because I don't like this position today.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin, meh. Tobias Harris, meh. LaMarcus Aldridge, meh. I
have one interest here that I think we should talk about that I'm really, really happy. Like,
out of those three?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm probably not there yet then. Talked about Lauri Markkanen. I guess he could take a shot in tournaments.
I don't mind it.
Grant has not been rotating right. But like I said, I kind of think that Jeremy Grant's going to be at the three, guarding the three most of the time. And Markkanen is going to be on, he's going to see a lot of Paul George. I actually really like the combo of Draymond Green, Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, so that's where I was going. Montrez might be my favorite player at 6,200 because, I mean, Gortat's not going to hang with Nurkic. And they're going to need Trez to hang with Nurkic. And this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game, you know, I think. So, and it's going to be close, and it looks like Vegas projects them to win the game, the Clippers. And they don't have Lou Williams back, so if the Clippers are going to win the game, guess where they have to go? Tobias Harris, Gallinari, and Montrezl Harrell, and some Gilgeous Alexander, right? Those are their four main guys. So, because Bradley and some other guys I mentioned, Beverly, they just play defense. That's. And you mentioned Draymond Green. This is the perfect Draymond Green game, guys. Memphis, it's exactly where you want to go for Draymond. Down low, banging bodies, getting rebounds, blocking shots, stripping the ball. This is exactly where you want Draymond Green. So those are my two favorites.
Yep. I love it. Wendell Carter Jr., I'm kind of off this whole rotation of the Bulls front court's not very fun. That includes Bobby Portis. I do have some interest in Alfred Kaminu and Rashawn Holmes in these games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, this position is not good, and it just got a little bit uglier with Ersan Ilyasova out.
Yeah, I'm kind of. But yeah, I'm with you. I have some Aminu interest as well.
So, I mean, when Zach Collins is a guy that, you know, is an interesting drop score candidate.
I got him.
then, you know, it's just one of those things. So,
centers. Let's move on.
Yeah, centers here. It's for everything that the power forward position wasn't.
Yeah.
The center position is.
Yeah. There's so much here, man. Oh, my God.
We talked about Joel Embiid at the beginning of the show, so we won't rehash on that. You kind of know our thoughts there. Karl Anthony Towns against Sacramento.
I'm gonna have a lot. I'm gonna have a lot. So.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Clint Capella. If I'm pairing up with James Harden, then. I love him in tournaments. Yusuf Nurkic, Enes Kanter, both great matchups. Both should play a ton of minutes, barring foul trouble, and both have elite offensive capabilities. The one thing I see about Nurkic here is the fact that he's going to be seeing a lot of Marcin Gortat. For this interest, I like Gortat as a drop score candidate on FanDuel at 3,500. I think he's in play no matter what, but you've got to take into consideration the fact that if you're popping out a $3,500 center, then you're really, really, really going to have to like get something in that allows you, like, I would almost compete with Gortat and another drop score candidate in that matchup. Now, he can get in foul trouble pretty quick, but, you know, with that said, they're going to need his big body in order to kind of go at it, or at Yusuf Nurkic here. Enes Kanter against Phoenix, that should be a no-brainer at this point. Steven Adams is okay, 7,300, more of a cash-type play. Don't expect what you saw the other night and have like 18 points in the first quarter. That was just it was great to watch, but it was an anomaly. Mitchell Robinson is out. He was one of my top drop score candidates for the night, especially at the position. He is out, so that's going to boost guys like Enes Kanter up a little bit as well. Willie Cauley-Stein kind of struggles against Cat. I know he had a good game last game, but he's probably off of my radar. DeAndre Ayton at 7,400 is in play against Kanter as well. And then Mike Muscala, 3,700, 25 minutes. It's going to be fun going up against the no size of the San Antonio Spurs. You're laughing at me.
Well, it's weird to me because Muscala is like, he'll start and I just haven't seen the production from him. Like we're seeing a dip in production from Embiid, and that means you're not even going to see much from Muscala. And he's not that he's not playing. He's playing, you know, mid-20s. But it's just, you talk about Noel yet?
I have not. I was waiting for you.
Okay, so for those of you on listening to the podcast, I have to step away for a minute. So excuse me for that. But I'm off Muscala. I think if one of their bigs goes off, it's going to be Embiid, and that takes away from Muscala. And if Embiid doesn't go off, it's Butler and Simmons. So it kind of puts Muscala in like a weird getting minutes, no opportunity position. So that kind of concerns me. Yeah. So for me, so I know you mentioned who your favorite guys are. It's Drummond and Cat. Well, in reverse order, Cat first and Drummond. And then I have a lot of interest in Enos Kanter.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of interest in Enos Kanter.
Especially now with Mitchell Robinson out.
Mitchell Robinson's out, and then you've got, you know, Ayton on the other end, Phoenix. Again, we talked about no defense. Talk about, like, these teams miss a lot of shots. They miss a lot of shots. I mean, I could see Kanter going for 18-plus rebounds. So, I mean, and he should be able to feast down low because Ayton, he hasn't learned how to defend yet at the NBA level. So I have a lot of interest there.
Yep. So do I. All right. Let's see here. I think that's really pretty much about it tonight.
Okay.
So, all right, guys. That's going to do it for us today. Got you out a little bit sooner and earlier than usual. Any final words?
Yeah, I do. I know that, you know, in my coaching channel, you know, there's been talks about people being frustrated, which a lot of us have been frustrated. I think we are looking a little too much into the way that we construct, and I'm strictly talking about FanDuel here, our rosters and cash games because of the drop score. I don't think you 100% have to put a minimum price guy on there just to put a minimum price guy on there. If you like your roster and you've got $4,000, $4,200 left, you don't have to pick a 3,500 guy and go up elsewhere. I think you can certainly stick to the 4,500 range for a drop score candidate, and let one or two guys kind of compete for that drop score versus 100% having a drop score because you know a guy's going to play 6-7 minutes, if that, so you can go up elsewhere. I don't think you have to do that. And I think a lot of us started thinking, oh, we have to do that. You don't. You don't. We've seen success in cash games not doing that because, frankly, it's safer, and that's what you're looking for in cash, safety. Tournaments, different ballgame, right? You want to throw a 3,500 guy in there every time to give yourself more salary for the other remaining 8 players? Have at it. No issues there. And for those members who hear what we're talking about, both on the podcast and on the notes that we put in our chat forums, that does not apply to DraftKings or Fantasy Draft or any of the sites that you play. This only applies to FanDuel. When we talk about punt or drop score candidates, please don't play those players in your DraftKings lineups. You don't get a drop score there. You know that because you play DraftKings. You only get one in FanDuel. Now, if there is someone that is cheap and we consider strong value, that's different, right? Like yesterday, there were probably 2 or 3 of those plays that you could have thrown in there, and they were good value. Drop score are not plays you should be playing for DraftKings. That's all.
Yeah, there's, I mean, very, very rare times, you know, when value pops up later in the season or later in the day. Are these guys viable on both sites? But
right.
You're right. If we say, like, if in my notes I put, you know, drop score candidate, you know, whatever, then it's one of those things like this is a FanDuel specific only because he's cheap. He still plays a ton of minutes. And he can go off for 35, but he can also get you 5.
Right.
So, which is the perfect type of drop score candidate that we actually do want. So, all right. That's going to do it for us today. For myself, for Bear, for the DFS on me, we gone. Peace out.